Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths. Where's the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. And over in chapter 18, verse 15, if you will. God said, because my people have forgotten me, they have burned incense to vanity, and they have caused them to stumble in their ways from the ancient paths, to walk in paths in a way not cast up. And where it's speaking of ways not cast up, it simply means ways that is not already prepared. And Jeremiah 6 and 16, God said, walk in the old ways, paths that's already prepared, that God has laid out for us, and you shall find rest for your soul. My subject this morning is simply why I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. After Brother Jones preached his sermon yesterday, I thought all I'll have to do is just give my subject. And they can play his CD. Because you heard what an old-fashioned Baptist is from Brother Roger Jones yesterday. Now, if you will, look them in 1 Corinthians 14. Why I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. Well, one reason is because God allowed me to live as old as I am. So I don't have much choice about that. I think the only other preach here older than I am, Brother Clyde Hancock, and he's older than anybody. Brother Kissel hadn't made it yet, as he's older than I am. But anyhow, to be old, that's by the grace of God. Amen. And I'm old-fashioned because God made me that way. It wasn't my choice in the beginning. If you're a Baptist, you've got to be old-fashioned. Because you got to go all the way back to John the Baptist and Jesus Christ.
Yes, right.
So that makes me old-fashioned. And then the Lord called me to preach. So of necessity, I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. 1 Corinthians 14, I think, will show us why we have to be an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. In verse 7, and even things without life, giving sound, whether pipe or harp, except they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall it be known what is pipe to harp? For if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise, ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken, for you shall speak into the air? And he goes on to tell us, if they give an uncertain sound, how are you going to know you're supposed to go into battle? It's not so much how we sound, but what we sound. You know, I've heard some preachers say, I wish I could preach like so-and-so. I know one time a fellow got up and he preached a wonderful message, and a young preacher went up to him. This was an older preacher that preached. A young preacher went up to him afterward, said, I wonder if you'd give me your outline. I'd like to preach that sometime. I believe it was on the subject of resurrection. The older preacher looked at him, said, well, it'd be like David wearing Saul's armor. It's not necessarily how you preach, but it's what you preach. And here, God says it's necessary to give a certain sound where people know what you're talking about. I'm almost in the same category as Brother Joe Collins. I have a little reservation about theologians. I sometimes wonder if they really know what theology means. You know, it means to study about God, but sometimes it seems like they're off the subject in some of their discussions. It's more about what they think than it is about God. I'm 72 years old, and I know whether it's by the grave or by the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, my time is short on this earth, and I leave that in His hands. But I want to be sure that the time that I have left by God's grace will be used to the utmost for His honor, for His glory, and for the blessings of those that I have the privilege of preaching to. I am indeed an old-fashioned Baptist preacher. I'm not for the new math. You know, now they are teaching in some schools that you just sort of guess at it. If 2 and 2 comes up 4.5, that's all right, you're close. So I'm not for new math. I'm not for global warming. God started this thing, and God will finish it when He gets ready.
Amen. Amen.
I'm not for political correctness. I'm for biblical correctness.
Amen.
I'm not for the new morality. I'm for God's standards.
Amen.
I'm for old-fashioned preaching, praying, and singing. Therefore, I'm not for contemporary music.
Amen.
I wonder sometimes if people really know what contemporary means. When we talk about having contemporary music in our church, we just talk about bringing what is suited to the world in our church.
Amen.
Now, I'm not saying that all new songs are bad, but when you speak of contemporary music, you're talking about what that's contemporary in that particular time. What we need today is some old-fashioned singing like we've heard this week here in this conference. I think Christian rock, Christian rap music, and much of what is called contemporary music comes from the devil himself, and it only takes the IQ of an imbecile to enjoy it.
Amen.
I would never make a radio preacher because I can't talk like they do. I'll just keep on being an old-fashioned Baptist preacher.
Amen.
What brought this thought to my mind recently, I was preaching in the midst of some very prolific speakers, and when I got through, came down, and this gentleman meant him for a compliment, and he said, "You're an old-fashioned Baptist preacher, aren't you?" And I said, "I'm afraid I am." And that's what I am.
Amen.
That's what the Lord made me. And I really have no desire to be in anything else. Why am I an old-fashioned Baptist preacher? That's the real crux of the whole matter. Why am I an old-fashioned Baptist preacher? Well, first of all, because God's old-fashioned. In the very beginning of the Bible, it says, "In the beginning, God." I mean, wasn't anybody else? It's just God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
That's pretty old-fashioned. And He's the one that saved me, regenerated me, gave me spiritual life, and whatever truth I know today, God taught it to me through the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So why else wouldn't I be an old-fashioned preacher? You know, He's old-fashioned, but He's up-to-date.
Yeah.
And I believe it's Isaiah 46:10, talks about God speaking of those things that are not yet come to pass as though they were already done.
Yeah.
A few weeks ago, my wife came into the emergency room. I passed out. I got through preaching, tried to sing, and I passed out. So one of the congregation hadn't passed out instead of me. But anyhow, they came in the emergency room, and they couldn't get a hold of any cardiologists, any heart doctors. They was all out. And they were going to wait till Monday. My heart count was going down pretty fast. And they were talking about putting some temporary pacemaker on. It just happened. It just accidentally happened that a heart doctor came into the emergency room. And he came and looked at me. He did that once before when I had a heart attack about 4 years ago. Just same thing, just accidentally come in. And I'd never seen him before. And that time he told him what to do, and I came out of it. But this last time he came in, he walked in and looked at me, and he said, "Now I know you." I said, "I don't know whether you know me or not, but I know you. I remember you." And I told him what happened. He said, "Yeah, I remember you." And he said, "They say that another doctor is going to come in tomorrow and put a pacemaker in." I said, "That's what they tell him." He walked out. A few minutes he come back. He said, "Your heart count is steadily going down. We could have a crisis." He said, "If you'll give your approval, I'll put it in right now." And I said, "You've got it."
Yeah.
About an hour or so later, he put it in. But in a week after that, I went back to him, and this is what he told me. I'm talking about, folks, God is old-fashioned, but he's up to date. He drew a diagram of my heart. My wife and I were sitting there, and he said, "I want to show you what happened." He said the top part of your heart controls the bottom part. And the top part quit communicating with the bottom. You had a heart block. And so the bottom part of your heart could run away or could just get slower and slower till it quits. But he said right here in the middle, in the lower portion, God put another generator. And because God put that generator down here, I can put a pacemaker in now and it'll keep working. If God hadn't put that in there many years ago, my pacemaker wouldn't do you any good.
Amen.
He's old-fashioned, but he's right up to date in this technological age, folks. So, if I'm going to be his preacher, I've got to be old-fashioned. Not only that, but I'm old-fashioned Baptist preacher because the Bible's old-fashioned.
Amen.
John 1 and 1 said, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." In the beginning.
Amen.
Deuteronomy 33 verse 27 talks about the eternal God, and the Bible tells us that it's the eternal God that gave us the eternal Word. In Psalm 119, it said, "Forever, O God, thy word is settled in heaven."
Amen.
Folks, it's right there. They can translate it, mistranslate it, burn it, do whatever they want to, but it's still there.
Amen,
man can't change it.
Amen.
It's still God's word. Isaiah 48 said, "The word of God shall stand forever." The Bible tells us in 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 21, that the Word of God came not by the will of man, but it came as holy men of God were moved by the Holy Spirit to speak what God gave
them. Amen. Amen.
It's completed about 2,000 years ago. The old Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10, "When that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away." Folks, we don't have to be able to speak in tongues we've never learned.
Right.
We don't have to have prophets that see visions and have to translate those visions. We've got the absolute, eternal, perfect, inerrant, plein air Word of God.
Amen.
That's all we need today.
Amen.
Revelation.
Amen.
Of what we are and who God is.
Amen.
I'm aware of the Mormons and their claim of holy writing. I'm aware of Mary Baker Eddy and Ellen G. White and their writing of the Seventh-day Adventists in Christian Science. I'm aware of the Roman Catholic's claims of infallibility when the Pope makes a decree. I'm aware of the modern translation, the New World Translation by the Jehovah's Witness. Mistranslation, let me say. Some of the modern translations. But folks, nothing else is the Word of God but this right here.
Amen.
I know many of you know a preacher by the name of Ken Johnson. A very highly educated man. Doctor's degrees in language. He's one out of eight people in the world. When they discover the Dead Sea Scrolls in any later date, when they find some kind of old manuscripts, the Jewish scholars at the Hebrew University in Jerusalem chose this gentleman, along with seven others, to be the ones to come to Israel and translate those manuscripts. And that's the kind of expertise he's got. And I've seen him. This man that knows Hebrew and Greek and many other ancient languages better than I know the English. I've seen him hold up the King James Version and said, "This is indeed the Word of God."
Amen. Amen.
And you don't have to take my word for it. So I'm an old-fashioned Baptist because God's old-fashioned. His Word is old-fashioned, and how wonderfully different the Word of God is from all other books.
Amen.
I've been preaching for 50 years. It might be a matter of opinion by some, but whether I preached or not, first 10 years I mostly just made a mess. Before God was pleased to place me to where I could be taught the truth. And I'll tell you, if God called you to preach, He'll see to it that you're taught the truth.
Amen.
If He doesn't, then He never called you. God doesn't make mistakes. But how wonderfully different. You know, I can read a book and go back in 4 or 5 years later and I pick it up and I start looking at it and I say, "I've already read that book. Have no interest in it whatsoever anymore." But I pick up the Bible every day of my life and I learn something every day. I listen to these preachers preach. As I said, I've been preaching 50 years and some young upstart been preaching 10 to 15, get up and teaches me something out of the Word of God.
Amen.
How different the Word of God is. How it comforts and blesses some hearts. And how it convicts and admonishes other hearts. Yes, I believe the Word of God from Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. Every bit of it is the Word of God. It declares the old-fashioned truth to me that is so dreadfully neglected in our world today. I'm also an old-fashioned Baptist preacher because Baptist church is old-fashioned.
Amen.
Brother Hammer preached a wonderful message
Amen.
On the Lord's church the other night.
Amen.
Preach the truth. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 10 and 11 said it was God's plan in eternity to make the manifold wisdom of God known to the world by His church.
Amen.
He had that plan back in eternity.
Amen.
So it's an old-fashioned institution.
Amen.
Mark 16:18, Jesus Christ said while He was here on the earth that upon this rock, that same rock that followed Israel in the wilderness, that was Jesus Christ, upon this rock I'll build my church. And He said, "The gates of hell shall not prevail against it."
Amen.
Satan and all of his cohorts cannot stop the Lord's church.
Amen.
We are living in troublesome and perilous times, but it still can't stop the Lord's church today.
Amen.
God's still doing His work through His church. Ephesians 3:21, "Unto Him be glory by Christ Jesus throughout all ages." How? In the church. Throughout all ages. And I believe it's Brother Ted Tweed talking about the New Jerusalem that comes down where the bride of Christ will dwell. It's going to happen one of these days.
Amen.
I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher because sin is still old-fashioned.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that sin is a transgression of God's law. And it's still sin.
Amen.
Romans 5:12 tells us how sin entered the human race.
Yes.
About 6,000 years ago, sin started because Satan deceived Eve.
Yes.
And then she enticed her husband Adam to disobey God. And as a result of that, sin entered the human race, for by one man sin entered. And death by sin, and death passed upon all men, for all have sinned.
Amen.
Men are still sinners today. Now, the definition of sin is still old-fashioned. Now, mankind, this modern world, has redefined sin. Sometimes they call it situation ethics. You know, if the circumstances are such and you don't think it's sin, even though God said it was, then it's not sin for you. I tell you what, folks, this is way on your destroyed our society. Then there are, of course, those that tell us if you've been saved by grace, there is no sin no more. Call it antinomianism against the law. Paul said that when the Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, the law is good if it's used lawfully.
Amen.
What's the law for? To show us that we're sinners.
Amen.
To drive us to Jesus Christ. It's our schoolmaster.
Amen.
How in the world did you know you ever needed a Savior? Because the law showed you were a sinner.
Amen.
That's what drove you to the Savior.
Amen.
Folks, I'm telling you, today, many times we as Baptists are accused of teaching that if you're saved by grace, you can live like the devil, live anywhere. You can't do it. True Baptists have never taught that kind of doctrine.
Amen.
We believe 2 Corinthians 5:17, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. He's different. Still has this old body of death, as Paul said, that we have to drag around, and a war constantly going on within us.
Amen.
But because of the regeneration of Jesus Christ, we have power over sin.
Amen.
We don't have to sin. We sin because we want to.
Amen.
But God hasn't changed the definition of sin. It's still wrong, the Bible tells us, to abuse this body. Whether it's for sinful pleasure or whatever it might be, drugs or ever how you might abuse it, it belongs to God.
Amen, brother.
It's His creation.
Amen.
And He created it to bring honor and glory to Him.
Amen.
And that's the purpose of it here on this earth. Somebody said, he's talking about Savior. I'm talking about everybody. God created everybody to bring honor and glory.
Amen.
And He got just as much glory out of Pharaoh as He did out of Moses.
Amen,
He'll do the same thing to you.
Amen.
Me. It's a sin to give body over to the sinful pleasures of this world. Fornication is still a sin.
Amen.
I'm about as country as old L.G. Richardson is, you know. Some of you know him. I mean, he's down to earth about like I am. He gets to preaching about fornication. He said, all you folks are shacking up out there. Everybody knows what he's talking about then. That's still sin.
Amen.
Adultery. Sex perversion.
Amen.
Man changes our standards. But God's standards remain the same.
Amen.
Psalm 7:11 said, God judges the righteous and is angry with the wicked every day. So, I'm old-fashioned because sin is old-fashioned.
Amen.
The penalty is old-fashioned. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. James 1:15, lust when it hath conceived brings forth sin. Sin when it's finished brings forth death. It always has, always will. And then I'm old-fashioned Baptist preacher because hell's still old-fashioned.
Amen.
You know, you go back in the beginning of the Scriptures and you find the word hell in the Hebrew is Sheol. Sometimes in the Old Testament English it's pit. But it's having reference to where the spirit of a man goes, a person, when I say man, I'm talking about mankind, where the spirit of a person goes when it dies. It could be in the torments of hell or it could be in the presence of God. It's not talking about where the body, but the spirit of man abides. In the New Testament, of course, the Greek could be Hades and English hell. But you come to number 16 and you find something about Sheol that you don't find before that. Kohath, Dathan, and Abiram. They decided they knew better than God and said to, why do you let Moses be our leader? We got some other fellows around you just as smart as Moses is. Make a long story short, didn't suit God very well. And he said, Moses, you tell them to gather over here in a certain way, certain place, and I'm going to show them something new that they've never seen before. He said, this earth is going to open up. I believe it's verse 35. I'm not sure, number 16. This earth is going to open up. And they're going down quick or alive into this earth. Earth's going to flow. Not only that, but something new. I'm sure they had earthquakes before that. But it said that fire is going to come out and destroy them. And it destroyed 250 princes. Hell fire. What he's talking about, Sheol means hell, and fire was there with it. From then on in the scriptures, you find fire in hell. Deuteronomy 32:22, Moses said, God has kindled a fire in the center of this earth, and it's growing, and it's consuming the center of this earth. And one day, you may say, well, preacher, I don't believe that. Well, I'll show you in a minute. One day, it's going to come to the surface of this earth. There's going to be a literal lake of fire right here on this earth. I believe it will be at the end of the tribulation period, because it said the beast and the false prophet are going to be cast into it. You want to find out about where it is, go to Isaiah 34. It talks about Basra, which is the capital of what we call Edom today. It's right down south of the Dead Sea where Sodom and Gomorrah was that God destroyed with fire and brimstone. And it says there's going to be a lake of fire. Look with me in Isaiah 34. I've got it written down here somewhere. 9 and 10. And the streams thereof shall be turned into pitch. Now I'm talking about an oil-rich country, folks. You know, Russian, some of their satellite countries, which are Islamic-controlled countries now, are looking down at Israel, down toward the Dead Sea, licking their chops, wanting to go down and obtain those natural resources down there. Now, I don't know what all is down there, but I know God's judgment down there. But it says that that land will become burning pitch. That's a byproduct of oil. Yeah. And the dust thereof into brimstone. Yeah. And the land thereof shall become burning pitch, and it shall not be quenched night or day. The smoke thereof shall go up forever from generation to generation. It shall lie waste, and none shall pass through it forever and ever. Revelation 20, verses 11 through 15 tells you about that lake of fire. Yeah. Much more we could say about it. But I'm just telling you that God says that hell is old-fashioned. Matthew 25, verse 41. And it's not the devil's hell, by the way. It's God's hell.
Amen. Right.
Said God prepared it for the devil and his angels.
Amen.
Hell's still real. And I'm telling you, you die in your sin without the Lord Jesus Christ, and that's exactly where you'll spend eternity. Doesn't matter what I believe, what you believe, what anybody else believes. God says that's where you'll go.
Amen.
Without the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, I'm old-fashioned because heaven's still old-fashioned. Praise God, it's still real.
Amen.
Amen.
Several years ago, there were some people who were very generous with me and paid my way to where I could take a tour of the Holy Land. And little dumb country hick from a place called Dotsonville, Tennessee. Never, at that time, never been much further than the state of Tennessee. I saw like a fellow I heard years ago when we used to go to Nashville, Tennessee to get our physical for the service, you know. Well, prior to that, you had to go all the way down to Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia. Man, that was a long way for us country fellas. One old boy went down there and put him on a bus and sent him to Fort Oglethorpe, Georgia, and got his physical, and he come back home. Got back home and told his mom and dad, he said, I want to tell you something. Said, if the world is as big the other way as it was the way I went, it's a tremendously big world. And that's about the way it was with me. I've never been very far. And God blessed me, and some people paid my way to the Holy Land. And I went out one night while we were there in the St. George Hotel in Jerusalem. Went out some French doors and a little porch out there. And I stood on that porch and I looked out over the city of Jerusalem. And I thought, God, I never expected to see and to be where my Lord walked, the Via Dolorosa, where they carried him out to Gordon's Calvary. I never expected to see that. And I stood there and stared off into space when I was overwhelmed at where I was here in Jerusalem. God's blessed me, folks. I've seen so many things, so many wonderful things in my life. Amen. I remember when my first little baby girl was born, what a marvelous thing that was, how wonderful it was. And then my grandchildren, and then finally a little great-granddaughter, and I stood there and I said, thank you, God, how wonderful you are.
Amen.
And I've heard some wonderful things in my life. Heard Eugene Clark preach on the Jubilee. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not. You ever get a chance to listen to it? I used to listen to Mahalia Jackson sing. Well, you know, she was a black woman, but what she could sing. Paul put it this way in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. He said, I have not seen.
Amen.
Now, ear heard, he's quoting Isaiah, old prophet. He said, I have not seen, the ear heard, neither hath it entered the heart of man. Man, you can't even think of the things that God has prepared for those that love Him. But I thank God for the next verse. He said, but the Holy Spirit has revealed them to us. And Brother Ted Tweet preached on the night. You know, there in Revelation, we used to talk about being heaven. He's talking about the new Jerusalem coming down, heaven. Going to be new heavens and new earth. And I can almost see that new Jerusalem coming down here on this earth. And old John, the Revelator, said, and the saved of the earth shall bring their glory and honor to that place where the Lord's bride and the Lord's going to be.
Amen.
Heaven's still real, folks.
Amen.
You and I cannot comprehend how glorious it's going to be. God used language that would help you and I understand a little bit about how wonderful it's going to be. Streets of gold. Somebody said, you believe there'll be real gold? I don't know why not, but I think God used that term because gold is the most expensive, precious thing we can think of today, monetarily. It's beyond what you and I could grasp and understand. But it's real. But last of all, I'm an old-fashioned Baptist preacher today because the way to heaven is still old-fashioned.
Amen,
only one way.
Amen.
Jesus said, John 14:6, I'm the way. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Colossians 1:27 said, Christ in you, the hope of glory.
Amen.
I want to tell you, folks, what we have to preach today that convicts and saves lost souls is the same thing that was preached to old Abraham.
Amen.
In Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 and 8, said that the Scriptures, I'm talking about in the days of Abraham, the Scriptures preach the gospel to Abraham.
Amen.
That's how we get it today.
Amen.
From the Scriptures. The wonderful story of redemption.
Amen.
I think about what Holy Spirit said to the Apostle Paul, 1 Corinthians 1:21, said, "For by the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God." I mean, God knew that if He left it up this world, we'd never know about Him. So, because of the wisdom of God, the world never knows about God. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching. Not foolish preaching. But as far as the world is concerned, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. The Bible says that in that same chapter, 1 Corinthians. It's foolishness to lost mankind. But it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching the gospel to save those that believe.
Amen.
That old-fashioned gospel, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, was buried and rose again the third day. That old-fashioned gospel is still the power of God unto salvation.
Amen.
Thank you.
Amen.
And the Lord bless you.
Amen.